Welcome to the AMD Tech Talk podcast. We are a bunch of friends who meet from time to time to have sizzling conversations about tech and world innovation. If you like what we do, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AMD Tech Talk. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Google Podcasts. Catch ya.
All right, guys, welcome back. So last week, Kwame and I started the whole discussion on Spotify, on Glovo, and all that. And I think we had to split the conversation at a point to suit the format of our episode. So here is the next part of our conversation, and just dive in with us, okay? All right, thanks. Okay, what do we have next on our list?
Anyway, so this is coincidental, but one of my friends actually just asked me one of the things that we are going to discuss. She basically is asking what I think of Twitter opening in Accra.
Okay.
And trying to compare it with, Google opening in Accra. And we don't really know what's going on.
Or
Google has an office in Accra.
Okay.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that this is actually my thoughts on it too. So I actually got to, I haven't been on Twitter in some time. So one of my friends sent me the news.
You've not missed out on anything.
So one of my friends sent me the news on, on WhatsApp. This was like way before I started seeing the links. He has a Bloomberg terminal. So he just like sent it to me. And then, I started getting like multiple of them on WhatsApp. And then I realized that from some of the screenshots and the links, Jack had tweeted about it. The president of Ghana had tweeted about it. And it was becoming like a very big deal, you know, like something groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to belittle it, but you just go on the portal and then you realize that it's 12 remote, you know, jobs. Opportunities. Even if you're able to fill it with 100% Ghanaians, that's 12 jobs. That's for the initial
bit.
Is it
12 jobs or 12 job descriptions?
That's what I'm saying, that even if you're able to fill it with 12 Ghanaians, that's 12. Ah, okay, I get the question. There could be like three media analysts?
Yes.
Okay, I get it. But my point still holds. Even if it's like 12 times 10, that's 120.
120,
at best.
At best.
For the start, right? Now, I know that there are, it's significant, it's amazing, it's a starting, you know, point.
Point, yeah.
But I'm used to us celebrating victories prematurely in the name of the potential it has, and we never actually seen that particular potential. You know, be like, oh my god, so this means that in 3 years time, if this grows and establishes and this goes well and that goes well and this goes well and that goes well, then it will become this, and then we'll be excited about that possibility. But as a matter of fact, it's actually never going to get to that point.
It just vaporizes.
Because of some of what you are describing as a Ghanaian.
As a Ghanaian thing.
But for the Twitter thing, like you're saying, some of their job descriptions seem to even favor Nigerians. And it's
The exact word on my mind right now was the word Nigeria. I was going to go like, you said this might be a little bit trivial in the, when you look at it through a larger tech, from a bird's eye view, if you look at it, this might seem a little bit trivial, but if it is, then why does the whole of Nigeria seem to be pained about it?
Obviously because they are larger markets, and they feel like the company should have operated there. But we all know in the world of business, it goes more. It is more than just being the largest market.
Yeah, the largest market.
Many companies situate their Asian HQ in Hong Kong, but China is a larger market.
Okay.
Even for
Hong Kong and Taiwan.
Yes.
Very notable.
I think even for the Middle East.
Yes.
It's in Dubai. Mm-hmm. UAE and not Saudi Arabia.
I'm sure it's not Dubai.
Hey, please, I don't know. so
it's probably
so,
called Dubai because that's where you go with your
bae.
With, for vacations.
So there's no correlation between large you know, size, meaning that the HQ has to be there by all means. They are looking at other things, taxes, they are looking at laws, they are looking at the political climate, they are looking at, you know, ease of doing business, they are looking at corruption indexes. There are so many things that go into it, and I am not an expert in that, so I don't even want to go deeper into it. But for me, I just feel like Twitter wants to definitely penetrate the Nigerian market more, but because of their laws and their climate, with one of their politicians was trying to sue Jack some time back. Yeah, like how will you know, like, how will they in their right mind, like, situate an HQ there now, based on all of these things that's going on?
Yeah, and the fact that when he came here, we served him better jollof.
So for me, I feel like it is basically just going to be like an opportunity to break into Africa, and not necessarily like a major win for Ghana, because all the jobs are remote.
They are remote. About that, what fascinates me about it is that I don't know how Twitter salary structures are like, but I feel it's going to be a little bit good if I'm a developer in Ghana. I live somewhere in the eastern region, let's say Abetifi, but I have the skills, I have the expertise, and it's a remote job, and I'm employed, I get the job. I could be earning a San Francisco salary whilst living in Abetifi.
Because of purchasing power parity.
I don't know, that's why I said I don't know the exact structure, but I just give that assumption. But on to what you're saying.
Yeah, because of PPP, purchasing power parity, and of course the other factors that go into creating salary bands and then compensation packages for various companies, I feel like it may not exactly be the case. Like, it's definitely not going to be the case. You will not be living in Ghana, working and then earning like San Francisco salary, because they are going to look at the cost of living, the standard of living, then like I am saying purchasing power parity, okay,
so
and all of that.
So you'd be across salary.
You'd be better off than like your peers, but you will not, like, it will not be comparable to that. And even as COVID has changed the world and companies are saying that you can work from anywhere, people who are choosing to live in certain locations are getting paid salaries based on the cost of living in those kind of places. So yeah, I mean, an average Ghanaian employer may give you, and please, I'm just mentioning these figures from my head, may give you like 10,000 Ghana cedis every month to do some work.
Who is the average?
It's just a figure.
This is not average.
Twitter may give you maybe 30,000 Ghana cedis, you know, for the month. In San Francisco, the engineer there or the, you know, software guy there may get what, $10,000, right? Mm-hmm. If you convert $10,000 to Ghana cedis, it's 50,000 or 60,000 Ghana cedis now.
Almost 61,000.
Yes. So I feel like those are the adjustments and the things that's going to like just come in.
Yeah, on to that, you earlier on stated something about Ghanaian employers. This is a little bit off topic. Ghanaian employers paying you according to where you live. My question to you with regards to remote jobs, right? Mm-hmm. My question to you is, when things were in a normal order, as and when people were physically working in office spaces, mm-hmm. and all that, weren't salaries also decided on where an employee was coming from to the workplace?
So I mean, obviously, I don't work in HR, so I may not be able to do like a lot of justice.
Because what I can tell you, in my world, I'm a musician, and in my world, it's simply not the case. Everyone is paid the same, regardless of where they're coming from, unless it is an extreme circumstance. For example, if I'm being called to come and do a job in Kumasi, mm-hmm. or Sunyani or Tamale, the client is going to cover the transportation. Mm-hmm. My transportation to the place is going to be covered. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be paid the same as those who are physically, like those who were, as another, the rest of the team members who live where the job is being executed. Do you understand? That is where I'm coming from.
Yeah. But I mean, compensation is more than just salary, right? Okay. So apart from the ballpark figure salary you are going to be getting, there may be some extra perks. There may be, you know, fuel allowance, there may be car maintenance allowance, there may be buses to even pick people from places to the office premises and all of that. So one thing I didn't mention when we started is that we are simultaneously streaming this on Clubhouse.
Okay.
And we have people joining in, and then I have a contribution from Musa that I just want to talk about in this version that we will publish on our streaming platforms. So a Twitter engineer in San Francisco may be making around like $300,000 per year, right? Okay. But in Ghana remote, you should be looking at $50,000 to $60,000 based on the adjustments and all of those things that I mentioned. All right, so thank you, Musa, for the contribution.
Which to me is pretty much very okay.
You are way better off. All right, so I think we have answered that question to the best of our abilities now. I'm sure as time goes on, we will update the information as our perspective changes.
Okay, great.
All right, so let's talk about fintech in Africa, and very specifically PayPal and their Flutterwave integration.
Yes, so one of the things I was excited to see, which I think was a very, very, very good, very, very good move for me, was the whole Flutterwave integration and collaboration with PayPal. So up until now, one of the problems I've had has had to do with buying and selling of merchandise or stuff. As an African merchant, we are limited on so many ways. You have to resort to so many different options. However, okay, there's actually Skrill, there's Pioneer, which I actually think is quite good, and so many other options. But all of these are international companies. Skrill has high transfer fees, transfer wise to the same, and all that. Flutterwave is an African country. African company. Forgive me for that blunder, if I'm not wrong. And they've been around for, and I think when it comes to fintech, African companies, they know what to do best when it comes to solution of like solving problems which we experience as Africans. So that move was a very good one, because using PayPal in most countries in Africa is a headache. And they integrating Flutterwave with PayPal has opened up the door for so many opportunities for people, like even you and I, because I frequently have to sell goods and services to people who are outside, and then always payment has always been a headache. Payment has always been an issue. So I think this time around, it's very, very, things have changed. Like, yeah. Definitely. The arrival of so many services, we've talked about Spotify, Showmax, we've gone on to also talk about Glovo and Twitter, and also now PayPal collaborating with an African like fintech. Yeah. I thought I'll never see the day.
But I mean, it's almost inevitable, right? Like, if you look at the future of payments in Africa, certain things are inevitable. The first one is definitely there's going to be more regulation around the non-traditional payments and apps in the interest of users, in order to curb fraud. So, you know, banks and how they are set up, and the KYC levels that they have, it's extremely, you know, long and winding and detailed, and leaves almost nothing to chance. But for some of these fintech companies starting up, they leave certain things, you know, like halfway. So for example, maybe you can transact up to, let's say, $100 if you haven't verified your identification. But if you want to do maybe 2,000 every day, then you need to provide more information and then more
about
details.
Yourself.
Yes. So if they are not careful, or if we are not careful, there's going to be like lots of scams happening. And yesterday I was reading an article on Quartz about how Paystack has inadvertently facilitated a scholarship scam, right? So long story short is that you pay $25 through Paystack to have access to a quiz that you have to take, and if you pass, you you are given some scholarship to study in universities outside the country. Now, they would definitely have not been able to use a bank to do this. Okay, let me not say they definitely. It would have been very hard for them to use a bank to do this. And even if that happens, the regulator will be able to extract the information of the, you know, PEPs from the banks. But here's a case where Paystack is refusing to comment, at least at this point, because either they don't have a lot of details, because, you know, it's just $25, enough to pass through all of those filters and the KYC filters without any
suspicion. Yeah.
Because if I'm able to get 100 people to do $25, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm gone. As opposed to saying that it is $1,000 and then, you know, that's going to raise suspicion. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of regulation around it when people realize that, you know, some parts of it can get very porous. And the second thing is that global merchants will also need to plug into our aggregators like Paystack, like ExpressPay, like Flutterwave, and the rest. We will not be able to use those solutions as is on our continent. So we will need like an intermediary, somebody to, you know, like connect them to us so that they will have our market and then we will also have access to their services and then their merchants. I'm also expecting that there would be, you know, those China style super apps. Like how, you know,
AliExpress.
There are merchants to provide some value added services and then, you know, monetize from it. So like one app, you can do this, you can do that, you can buy here, you can go here, you can use XYZ payment options and so on. So for me, this is like a step in the right direction. I am expecting to see more and more of such collaborations. PayPal integrating with Vodafone Cash or M-Pesa. Mm-hmm. You know, Visa integrating
in other countries
just to like, get it going, because that's the only way that those two worlds are
Kenya
going to
and Co. You actually have PayPal, you can withdraw PayPal funds to M-Pesa
exactly
and all that
exactly. So more of that is actually going to happen on our markets based on how things generally go. Cool. I think it is 2 p.m. so we should be wrapping up.
I think we've missed one.
The LG phone division shutting down.
So before we go ahead, let's just have a moment of silence for the death of our beloved phone company LG.
Not mine though.
Life could have been good, but it wasn't good enough.
Life wasn't good.
All right, so LG, did you have any experience with any LG phone?
Did I? No, I don't think so. But I came very close to buying the LG G3. I think that is LG's most successful phone to date.
I also came close to buying an LG phone, but it never. Funny enough, their phones never really appealed to me. What I do appreciate about them is that they were always willing to try some weird science experiments.
Yeah, but that's just weird. Like, it was just too weird, you know, like...
Yeah, they were very willing to... I don't know what kind of R&D they have, but it's basically just mad science they were trying out, which I think was a good idea because they took certain risks no phone company was willing to.
So for LG, I feel like they were not big enough to make those kind of risks. And why am I saying this? A company like Samsung is big enough to do something like that.
Okay.
Take your mind back to 2011, mm-hmm. when Samsung released the Galaxy Note.
Okay.
That was ridiculous.
That was a huge,
In a world where iPhones are 3.5 inches, I think the Galaxy was like, 5.3 inches or so. Mm-hmm. Was it 5.3 or 5.8? I've forgotten.
Okay.
But long story short, it was ridiculous. But guess what? Apart from that experimental line, they also had their usual, you know, tried and tested lines going for them.
Yeah. So,
if you are not mad enough to try the Galaxy Note, you can just go for the usual options.
Usual options.
But for LG, their flagship was always weird.
It was always...
G5 was a modular phone and, you know, people had concerns about the moving parts, about how it looks.
They had a lot of phones with moving parts. And then they had a dual screen.
Also about the operating system that it is running. That was also quite bad.
Yeah.
So I feel like they were bold enough to attempt some of these things, but they were not big enough to sustain them and to do them. Like, for example, if I'm following, let's say, the iPhone line or the Galaxy line, every year I know that, you know, I want a bigger camera, I want a better battery, I want a, you know, crisper screen, and the design will be modified just a little,
just a little bit
to kind of suit me. But I don't want to see like a new experiment every single year, making it very hard for me to
come up with something looking like an X-wing from Star Wars.
And the modular phone, which didn't really fly, and yeah, so I'm actually not very surprised at all, and I haven't given LG much thoughts.
Do you know the funny thing? They've actually made a statement to all the other phone companies as to what doesn't work.
Yeah, like these wild experiments. Everyone else
is like, yeah, thanks for the advice, stupid.
Yeah, but G3, like I said, was very compelling. I think the Samsung options in that year. I think this was in 2014. The G3 was in 2014.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Which Galaxy was released in 2014? Mm. Let me just see if I can Google it. Oh, I don't know how to Google. Google, mama, gine. Yeah, but I mean, you had the likes of the Galaxy S's and the Galaxy Notes. You're definitely not going to buy an LG.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Mm. Huawei was also packing a punch back then. So yeah.
Back then.
RIP to the phone division. I've seen some videos about this from MKBHD and Mr. Mobile, but I haven't watched them yet.
I've also seen those recommendations in my YouTube. I need to have a closer look at them. So on phones, I think there's a couple of events coming up. Apple.
The Apple special event.
The last time I was asking something about Apple special, and a certain someone told me that Android user and Apple event for me whole bank.
The Apple special event is coming.
Yeah, a certain someone told me that. No problem.
Who was that?
He knows himself, the third guy.
Only. Yeah, we even discussed this on, I think, 4 days ago on Clubhouse.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll just quickly run through because we are kind of hard pressed on time. Yeah, so Apple special event, our predictions based on the rumors, based on what normally happens year on year. We are expecting a new iPad Pro with a mini LED backlit screen with a processor similar to the M1.
Okay.
Right, we are looking at AirPods 3, not AirPods Pro 2, but AirPods 3. Yes. And then I think like a 14-inch MacBook. You know, 15 was updated to 16, but the 13 wasn't updated to that.
It remained the same.
We are looking at that too. And then it's also been some time since the iPad mini was refreshed.
Okay.
So that's, and then the Apple TV, like the hardware, not the software.
Oh, okay.
So we are looking for those two. We've seen mentions of AirTags in iOS 14.5 beta. So we are expecting, you know, that to be announced. And then maybe some new iPhone 12 color cases. These are the only items I think I should discuss, because the rest are very speculative and will take us into like a rabbit hole.
Okay.
So yeah, we are just waiting for it. It's in 3 days, and
it's just in 3 days.
Yeah, we will definitely do like a recap when it happens.
So I'm pretty sure by the time this podcast goes live, that should also be airing.
Yes. Exactly. Google is also doing an IO. Have you looked at it?
I've not really looked at it.
Yeah, because there's nothing.
Go away.
No, the way I still love Google Power, that they let me down every time.
They let you down because of the phone.
Every time.
Oh, come on.
I mean, like, why did I love Google apart from the phone? Is the phone?
Don't let you. Don't bounce back. Google bounce back.
I'm pretty sure
there's rumors of a Pixel 6 Pro or 5A or something like that.
Meh.
I've not really. Look at you.
Meh.
I'm just waiting.
If I see it and it's amazing, I'll say it. I mean, I don't care. I am not loyal to anybody. I'm loyal to myself.
They'll shut you up very soon.
I'm loyal to my pockets. If Pixel gives a better phone than an iPhone, why would I still keep using an iPhone? For what? Something I'm using my money to buy. Nah. Anyway, so yeah, I think wrap up and then let's
So we've had the streets. We've gotten to the last piece, the last bite of. We just had the last bite of our tech salad. We've run you through.
Just whatever. Tech salad thing. You'll regret it in 3 years' time.
Why would I regret it? Why would I regret saying this? We've run you through Spotify, Show Max, Glovo, Twitter setting up their HQ here in Ghana, the death of LG. And right now we spoke about the Apple's event and then the Google I/O. I think this is just to provide some red carpet for the topics you'll be discussing in the coming weeks, because we've been silent for a while. Not our fault, and forgive us if we have sort of left you hanging a bit. But yes, welcome to season 4 of the AFD Talk podcast, and we'll catch you same time next week. My name is Selom Donyo,
and I am Kwame Arthur.
Peace out.
All right. Laid back.